flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Donnie, it never ceases to amaze people that, yes, they made us swim naked at Amherst Junior High School way back when. I guess it would have been the late 70s. And swim class, not co-ed, of course, just the guys, was naked swim. I've brought this up on this show before. In fact, I brought it up a long time ago and had people from Pittsburgh of that era saying that in some schools around here there was naked swim. The reasoning given at the time, to us anyway, I hate to say it seemed normal, but that's just what you did. But later, when looking back and realizing how odd it truly was, it was that the bathing suits would rust up the lockers, some stuff like that, some stories like that. Doran here and Crowley and you, I think, were absolutely taken aback that that there was naked swim at Amherst Junior High School in Buffalo. I was the goalie in water polo, as I was saying. I couldn't swim, so I'd hold on to the side. But it got ugly when I had to make a flying save.
Oh, boy. I can just imagine you sprawling across the pool, diving to make the stop. Joe Starkey denied.
I remember you saying this before, but yeah, it is still wild every time. Like, that sounds like several lawsuits waiting to happen.
I know. I should look back and see if there's money to be had. It's unbelievable that this happened, Donnie. And then there was swim basketball in the shallow end. Marshall Reinhart and I were an unbelievable alley-oop combo. It was like Magic Johnson and Gregory Kelser at the time from Michigan State.
Nobody was trying to take a charge there, huh?
No, there were no charges taken.
Not a lot of contact in that pool basketball.
Just trying to let the boys play.
Donnie, I'm having post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's not from naked swim basketball. It's from looking over at a man with a beard, you, and having him be distracted a lot. I'm alarmed by this because this used to be Ron, and I think that I'm distracted. But a lot of times I've discovered over Donnie Football Friday, I'm talking to you, telling you a story, and you're either looking at your phone or in some other world, and you don't hear me. And it you seem this morning like a young Ron Cook. That's what he used to do. I thought I was distracted, Donnie. You're distracted all the time.
What do you mean?
I just said before the show I was telling you a story, and you're staring at your phone. I feel like I'm talking to a combination of Ron Cook
the show hadn't
and
started
my daughter.
Yet.
Well, what does that have to do with whether you're listening to my story? There's Ron. I didn't know this about you. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It just is. You are sometimes very distracted, or maybe just not interested in what I have to say, in which case I understand.
That could be it.
Yeah. Has anybody else told you this? Does Sarah tell you that? That you're distracted at times?
I mean, yeah, by my phone.
Yeah.
By Twitter.
Right. Yeah. That's it. That's what I'm saying. By your phone. Limits, have you noticed this about Donnie, or am I off base here?
I think a little bit off base. Like, I think maybe before the show, when Donnie's still trying to get some notes and other things situated.
Yeah.
It could be a hectic time before the show sometimes, in a couple minutes beforehand.
Have you found me to be distracted at times?
No. Maybe once or twice during, like, an interview conversation where you'll say, Bob, I have no idea what you just said there. Could you please repeat?
That's right.
And I know, at least in Ron's final few years, I would see you guys do the show together. Ron would be watching TV
it was unbelievable. He knew more about soap operas than people who stay at home like and watch the whole thing
every
day. He'd
be like, Joe, look at this argument that's going on right. On the TV. You think they're going to go out to dinner after this? I don't know. I mean, no dessert for you.
He's watching people bid on The Price is Right.
He is. I mean, he was fascinated with everything but the show by that point. Anyway, welcome to another Donnie Football Friday. It's Donnie sitting across from me. My name is Joseph Raymond Starkey. What's your middle name, Donnie?
Joseph.
Did we already know that?
I don't know.
Was I not paying attention when you
Donald
said it?
Donald Joseph Chedrick. That's my full name.
That's amazing.
I'm named after both of my grandfathers.
That's awesome. Limits, your full name?
Austin Ray Bechtold.
My middle name is Raymond.
That's why we have great connection right here.
What a great connection.
We got to tell Fittipaldo that in about an hour.
Yeah, we do.
Raymond is my dad's name and my grandfather's name, so my dad just shortened it to Ray to be my middle name.
I feel more connected to you guys than ever. Let's take off, Donnie, shall we, on a Donnie Football Friday?
Let's do it.
I'm telling you, I'm of two minds today. We're going to get into the Steelers quarterbacks because Art Rooney just keeps like digging himself a new hole every day. It's amazing to me. But I start today, Donnie, with Chiefs hate because that's what I'm feeling, and I'm feeling it lessened. I am. With time, I'm feeling it lessened. I'm torn between immense respect for what they're doing here. Going for three in a row? No team in the Super Bowl era has ever done that. And my hatred of them, and my suspicions, perhaps paranoia, about the officiating. But as I always say, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean someone's not out to get me. So there's all of that. Mostly hatred, pure unadulterated hatred toward them. However, I was actually a Chiefs fan as a youth. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah. One of my first favorite teams was the Kansas City Chiefs. I was angry that the Miami Dolphins beat them on a Gary Yepremian field goal on Christmas Day, I believe 71 or 72. Very angry about that. My first sports anger was directed in favor of the Chiefs. I felt bad for them. I loved the uniforms. I loved the color scheme. I loved the helmets. I loved the name. I loved Willie Lanier and Buck Buchanan and Len Dawson and Otis Taylor. I was a member of the Ed Podolak fan club as a kid. Did you know that, Donnie?
No.
It's true. Ed Podolak was a running back, I believe, out of Purdue. I could be mistaken on that, who had a porn mustache and wasn't even that good. But he was good in that game, and I signed up. And back then, they would send you stuff like autographed photos when you were a member of a fan club. So that, combined with, they had years of suffering, right? Between the winning the Super Bowl by matriculating the ball down the field,
yes,
with Hank Stram, and what they're doing today. And then I heard Melissa Etheridge on Good Morning Football. She's from that area and had a song about it. And I'm starting to turn. But before we listen to the song, I'm starting to go back to my Chiefs roots is what I'm saying, Donnie. I want to know where you stand with this team. Is it hatred, sick of them? Is it more respect? Where do you stand with the Chiefs?
I'm more at a respect level with the Chiefs. And I got into this last week. I think we got into this last week before that AFC Championship game. And it does have a lot to do with really how it has affected the Steelers, or I guess hasn't, because the Steelers have been irrelevant for basically this whole run. They met once in the playoffs. It was Ben's last game. We knew that they were dead men walking going into Kansas City, so it didn't really matter. But what they're able to accomplish here in this era of football, I think, is so impressive. I mean, we've never seen a team win three in a row. You think of the great Steelers dynasty, the dynasty of the 70s. You think of the Cowboys and 49ers from the 80s and the 90s. You think of the Patriots of the 2000s and even the 2010s. None of those teams ever won three Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah.
And this is a real chance that we see it. So, yeah, a lot of people hate it now, and I can understand, you know, you're tired of Patrick Mahomes. He flops. He gets all of the penalties.
And
yada,
Taylor
yada.
Swift.
People
and
are annoyed.
Travis Kelce.
They're annoyed with the
Brittany
power
Mahomes.
Couple.
And Andy Reid's commercials and and the way they win and the flags going in their direction, but go ahead.
Yes, people are annoyed with all of that, and it's understandable. But I think it'll be a time where if they do pull this off, we're going to look back years down the line and be like, man, that may be the best dynasty we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Three in a row in an era where we've never seen it. Plus, it's so hard now with just the way that things are with free agency. Players always want to get out of where they're at, even if they're in a good situation. Like, teams didn't have to deal with that as much 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. The other wild thing about this, before this run started, they had one of the single most dangerous players in football outside of the quarterback position, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
They traded him, and they are about to win their third straight Super Bowl without him.
It's truly amazing, but I'm torn. I'm torn between two worlds. Loving the Chiefs as a kid and those kinds of sports loves always stay with you to some degree, and absolutely despising them right now. But I was listening to this, and by the way, Jack Ham, I asked him and some of the great Steelers about this, Donnie, about whether they thought the Chiefs by winning three would surpass their 70s dynasty. Jack Ham said yes. He said yes. I think three in a row is better than four and six. And by the way, the Chiefs would win four of six if they win this year. He said back-to-back is so difficult. I hold in high regard what ours was able to accomplish, our team. We did that twice back-to-back, but three in a row, maybe I'm splitting hairs, Jack Ham said. But I think that's better. How about that? So here I was this morning with a lot of complex feelings rising within me, Donnie. Still highly resentful over the Bills game and how that ended. Still paranoid. Still with hate in my heart. And then I heard Melissa Etheridge and I heard this song, Donnie. She made it up on the spur of the moment, much as we did Malzi the Snowman. She wrote this about her hometown, Kansas City, and now I'm moving off my position of only pure hatred. Let's take a listen, shall we?
This was from Good Morning Football.
I got a little song for them. Okay.
All right.
Let me tell you something about the Midwest. We work hard, play hard, try to do our best. We're often overlooked in movies and in books. We just deal with it. Now we got music, we got food. You should taste our barbecue. You'd think we'd get a little respect. We've had ourselves some hard times, tornadoes and floods. I'm telling you, we just deal with it.
Deal with it, Donnie.
We deal with it, and maybe someday a little good luck is gonna come our way. But until then, we take it on the chin. We just deal with it.
Hey.
Now, this
listen
one's
to this
for
part,
my
Donnie.
Dad, who'd really love to see his Chiefs from the Midwest making history. I know you're getting tired of Brittany and Patrick and Taylor and Travis and Donna and Kylie and State Farm. And what the hell is a bundle rooski? But until they all retire, you're gonna have to deal with it.
Yeah, Donnie.
Deal with it, and maybe someday a little good luck is gonna come your way. But until then, take it on the chin and just deal with it.
That's great stuff. And I think there's a message there. You have to, is it eat crow, Donnie? Is that the saying? You have to, you have to take what's coming to you. And the only way you again rise someday or overcome is to do that. I think as someone whose allegiance is still with the Bills from my whole life, I got to hand it to the Chiefs. I've got to deal with this. And as a Steeler fan, you have to deal with it too. Even if they pass the 70 Steelers. It's just, it's paying them their proper respects. That's where I'm at this morning.
In a way, and I've heard a few people make this point, it's almost nice this time around that the Steelers don't have their next franchise quarterback. Because think of how many teams out there, especially in the AFC,
are wasting theirs.
They're wasting away Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. If you want to throw Herbert in there, you can, whatever. But there are multiple quarterbacks that should be getting to and maybe winning Super Bowls. Burrow's the only guy that's gotten through. He got past Mahomes one time, the only active quarterback to do so.
Here's what
happened. But it's nice that, like, we dealt with that. Steelers fans dealt with that 20 years ago. The Steelers ended up getting two Super Bowls where they didn't have to face Brady's Patriots.
Yes.
But a lot of the times, they were getting shut down at the door by New England.
I know.
We don't have to worry about it right now.
If the brightest spot of this Steelers era is at least we're not wasting a franchise quarterback, then we're really reaching.
We're grasping for straws.
And I would also say in Baltimore and Buffalo, especially, and I know this from going to four straight Super Bowls, you still get tons and tons of memorable games along the way. He might not win a title, but my God, watching Josh Allen week in, week out, the San Francisco game this year in the snow where he took the lateral, beating the Ravens in a playoff game, all the spectacular stuff he does, I think I would still take that right now over the idea of, well, at least we're not wasting one. We're going to get one, and Mahomes won't be here. Same with Lamar. I mean, those towns, they're actually competitive in playoff games these days, Donnie.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
They're winning playoff games regularly.
There's something enjoyable about your football life when your team is providing massive entertainment all the time and is clearly in it, like really in it. Not on the fringe of playoff contention or barely getting in as a double-digit underdog every year, like an afterthought. They're playing meaningful games, and they have a chance to win the Super Bowl. But, yeah, this guy and this team is ruining all their dreams, their ultimate dreams. I love that song, though, don't you, Limits?
Yeah.
It was catchy, wasn't it?
At the beginning, I was like, where are we going with this? And then it started to get funnier when they were saying – she was saying, like, and you're tired of the Kelce's and Taylor Swift.
Bundle Ruski.
And all these State Farm commercials and Andy Reid eating cheeseburgers out of boxes of shoes.
You can't
and
not it, like Andy Reid.
It's true.
Right? He's Santa Claus in a headset, isn't he, Donnie?
He's an all-time great.
Santa Claus.
Claus. Yes,
Claus. Thank you.
Everybody loves him. But this sort of, in a roundabout way, winds us into the Steeler quarterback situation, which is where I intended to start today. I'm just flabbergasted, I think is a good word, with some of the stuff that Art is saying. It feels to me like this is some sort of weird flea market. Like whoever shows up first at the offices next Tuesday wins. Like you're going to have Russ and Justin Fields fighting each other in the hallway, and whoever gets in Art's office first is next year's starting quarterback. What is this? First come, first serve? Who do they want? Is this the Hosses? What do they have at Hosses?
Like buffet.
Yeah. Is this a Hosses buffet, Donnie? First come, first serve here? they get the pick of it? I've never heard of this with a quarterback situation. I want to get your take on this, but first I want to hear Art yesterday, and was this with Ashley Liotis, right, of WTAE? She's a Baldwin girl, if I'm not mistaken, right?
We went to the same grade school and the same high school, Ashley.
St. Elizabeth.
St. Elizabeth and then Baldwin.
Did she play basketball?
I think she might have.
How old is she, approximately?
She, 20s? I think she's like 7 or 8 years older than me. I'm not entirely sure.
Donnie, did you play in any of the classic Catholic school gyms around here? Basketball? St. Elizabeth's is right up there.
No, I did not.
One of those where all the seating is up top. So everybody's
the court's
looking
like very small,
and everybody's looking way down at the court from the upper bowl. Nobody can sit down by the court.
I kind of like those.
It's unbelievable. We had a great game there. I'll tell you that much.
Best gym in the area. My favorite.
Gianna Ferreri had a good game that day, and Maziarse. Which Maziarse was it? She came in and had a hell of a game. We struggled that night, but we still walked away a winner, and it was big. It was real big. Gianna played on an injured ankle.
You walked out of the gym with one finger in the air.
Yes. That was a big win. Anyway.
And that was me on Wednesday night at the gym shooting hoops, riffing with my friends about the Chiefs and how annoyed I am with the Chiefs.
We all are. But as I said, I'm conflicted at the moment. Anyway, I think Ashley does a great job. And she sat down with Art and listened to this conversation on the quarterbacks. I've never heard such sort of, I guess whichever one it happens to be, that'll be really cool, won't it? I don't know. Will it? Let's listen to it.
I know you said it's unlikely to bring back both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So where does that kind of stand as we speak?
You know, we'll be talking to Justin and his representative as well as Russell and his representative here soon. And it's one of those things where the sooner the better in terms of finalizing something with one of them.
Have you been in contact? The conversation started?
Hold on. Yeah, we'll be talking to Russ. We'll be talking to Justin. Maybe some. Hey, if anybody else out there wants to show up, the office is open next Tuesday. Whoever gets here first probably have the inside track. Doesn't really matter which one we get. Donnie, I've never heard anything like this.
What about Kyle Allen? He got left out in the cold there.
Yeah. Maybe he'll show up early and give them the best deal. It sounds like one of two things. Whoever gives them the best deal, like I said, like a reverse flea market, the low bidder wins, or that he's using Russell right now to try to get the best deal with Justin. Like they're pretending that they actually want Russell or that he's a viable choice here, only because if they didn't, then Fields would think he had leverage. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not going to attack Art for what he said there. I mean, I've attacked him for a lot at this point, but I do think it's just a leverage play by saying that, like, hey, we would like to bring one of these two guys back. We'll see which one it is, and we're kind of going to play each guy against each other here when it comes to negotiation.
But you'll admit it's a little bit strange when you're talking about next year's the guy who you're going to hand the keys to your franchise. It sounds like it does sound like, yeah, whichever one shows up at my office first with the best deal, he'll get the job.
I would also still like to think that Justin Fields, for the term that Tomlin loves, pole position, I would love to think that he's in that spot here when it comes to next season and not Russell Wilson. But
I don't know,
man. We're all playing a guessing game.
We're playing a guessing game. Let's hear how that conversation. Actually, just go back to the beginning because I want to rehear that. And then hear how the conversation went with Art and Ashley.
I know you said it's unlikely to bring back both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So where does that kind of stand as we speak?
You know, we'll be talking to Justin and his representative as well as Russell and his representative here soon. And it's one of those things where the sooner the better in terms of finalizing something with one of them.
Have you been in contact? Have the conversation started with either of them or both of them?
Yeah, we've had conversations with both of them. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're in terms of the players, they both have said they'd like to come back. So that's a good start.
When the decision is made, if it's Russell or Justin, is it assumed or should we plan on that one being the starter and not it being a competition for the first time in a while this year?
You know, I look at competition as a good thing, and so I think every position on the team should be up for competition. Obviously, it depends on the player and the position and their, let's say, tenure with the team, so there's a lot that goes into it. But, I would say that if we sign either Russell or Justin, I would assume from where we are today that that one would go into the season being the starter.
Plan the parade, Donnie?
You better get your lawn chair.
This is stranger than last year. This is the old days when we used to wait all night in line to get concert tickets. Whoever shows up at the booth first gets the tickets. Yeah, we've talked to both. I don't know.
It's
almost like he's saying, yeah, what do you want me to tell you here? We'll take either one, whichever one's cheaper. I don't know what to make of it, Donnie. You? First of all, every position on the team is – Tomlin tried to pull this crap last year with the whole competition thing. No. You want at quarterback one guy who's completely unchallenged for 15 years. That's what you want. So please don't tell me that quarterback is a position where you want competition. You don't want any competition whatsoever. You don't want to even have a thought that somebody could challenge your franchise quarterback.
I mean, my mindset going into this is that I would just be so disappointed if they struck a deal with Russell Wilson given what he seems to be looking for. If it is anywhere close to the amount of money that he seems to want, I mean, we've heard...
What is the money that you think he wants?
Well, I mean, that's another part of the equation here because we hear things like, oh, is he going to look for a Baker Mayfield-type deal, which was 3 for $100 million, or is he going to really say how much he loves Pittsburgh and claim that he will play here for such a cheap deal that it won't even really matter? Like, yeah, that would change things here. But if it is for any sort of substantial money, even though that you could argue $30 million for a quarterback is not all that much anymore, like that's average quarterback pay, I'm not paying that to Russell Wilson. He's not going to get them over the top.
Could this if you think the strategy is you're using Russell as a negotiating ploy to make Justin feel like there's competition here, like, you know,
what I'm hoping.
Okay,
it is.
Well, let me tell you this then, and I'm having trouble articulating my thoughts, and I don't know why today. Sometimes the words are on the tip of my tongue. I'm drinking this Urban Remedy stuff. It's a green drink, Donnie.
Yeah, pretty good.
Which should be good brain food, but I can't find the words I need this morning. Let me tell you the devil's advocate to that theory. That this is, you know, you hope this is what they're doing. They're just playing with Russell to get Justin to sign a smaller deal. What if it's in Justin's mind right now and his agent's mind, like, wait, we're in competition with Russell Wilson? Forget it. We'll go somewhere else. Like, you guys are seriously negotiating with Russell? Like, this needs to be my team. You want to sign Russell? You want to sign whoever gives you the best deal? Goodbye. I'll go somewhere else. Because I could see that side of it happening, too.
And I think the argument can be made that he has a stronger market out there than what Russell Wilson
has.
Me,
too.
The only real connection we've heard with Wilson was last Friday when Pete Carroll got hired by the Raiders and the immediate, oh, well, you know, they're still buddies, old Russ and Pete, so maybe they'll bring him in for a year or two
right
to Vegas. Otherwise, how many teams out there are saying, yeah, we'll bring in Russell Wilson with the intention of, We draft a rookie quarterback right behind him? Because I think Russell Wilson would see right through that. Like, if the Giants want to sign Russell Wilson, he'll say, well, you guys are going to draft Cam Ward. You know, you guys are going to try to replace me as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like he is in a position where he's going to accept a backup job for backup money. And that's
he may have no choice.
True.
But Justin, for his part and his rep, they need to call the Steelers bluff. And I'm not that gung-ho on Justin Fields. Don't get me wrong about this. And I don't know that any other team would bring him in as a starter, but they might. And I agree with you that he has a better chance of getting a better deal and a better shot with another team than Russ does. Having said that, he has the leverage. So I'm going to the Steelers thinking, you don't want me? All right. You can explore your other options. You want Russell Wilson back? Okay, here's my number. Justin Fields, here's my number. Do you want to meet it? There's not going to be much negotiating here. If you don't, I'm a free agent. Goodbye. Right?
Yeah, and he would be more prone to being like that bridge guy because he is still at least at the point in his career where maybe he goes somewhere where they intend to draft somebody else, but then he surprises them and plays very well. I would make the comparison, you know, like Sam Darnold in Minnesota this year. Now, he peed down his leg in the final few games of the season, so the comparison isn't great. But for the regular season, for almost every game, he came in there as kind of a lame duck, one-year deal.
Yeah.
They drafted J.J. McCarthy. Sam Darnold balled out for almost the entire season. If that could be a case of Justin Fields going somewhere, doing that, and then maybe he has another job following that. But he could go to a handful of different places, I think, even if a team drafts a young quarterback in the first round.
Yeah. Regardless, this is where we are going into year four, I believe, without Ben. Year four, not to mention, you know, he was looking quite replaceable, although I think we look back and don't give him enough credit for what he did the last couple of years. He was aging and looking replaceable. So it's like, you know, 6 or 7 years where you would have been thinking about replacing him. But in year four, heading into year four post Roethlisberger, the Steelers quarterback situation amounts to this. The team president is essentially going to have a jelly bean hunt in his office, and whoever finds the jelly beans will be our next quarterback. That's where we're at. I'll take either, whatever. We can go either way. They both, well, we started conversations. I think they both want to be here, so that's a good thing. That's where we're at going into year four without Ben and Donnie. That is a near hopeless place to be. I'm sorry. You can pull off 9 or 10 wins, probably, and get blown out of a playoff game. That's your ceiling again going into next year, at least as we sit here right now. This is a near hopeless place to be.
And I think if you bring back a guy like Field J, you could very well go 9-8. You could be at the same exact spot, 10-7. You get to the playoffs, you get beat up, whatever. I also think there's more of a possibility that the team is worse than that. I'm never one to, at this point, predict that we will see a Mike Tomlin losing season, because as much as we joke about it, he gets there by hook or by crook. They got there with Duck Hodges, and they got there with Mason Rudolph at quarterback. But you bring back Justin Fields, maybe they're actually bad. Maybe they're actually below 500. That sets themselves up for the 26th draft.
Yeah.
To maybe find their next
guy.
Right,
that would be that's the silver lining here.
And that crop of quarterback, according to the scouts and evaluators, that looks like a better group than what's coming out this year.
And that's where we would get into a trade TJ situation. And, you know, people look at that as, you know, some horrible abomination. A, it's a compliment to him that I think he could still fetch really good draft picks. B, you've won nothing with the guy. Obviously not his fault, but you've won nothing with him. He's still marketable. And C, is it a wise business decision to again make TJ Watt one of the highest paid defensive players in the world when we just talked about their quarterback situation, just talked that the ceiling is probably the same as it's been for years, if not lower. Why would you invest all that money in him as his career depreciates? It makes no sense. If you're ever going to trade him, the time is now. It's time, at least from my way of thinking, to take a step back this season. And from the top of your organization, to try to ensure that that happens. You know, obviously the players, the coaches are all going to be trying to win games. But what you do from the top of the organization is make that very difficult for a year. Very, very difficult.
The thing that sucks is that it never seems like they would buy into that idea.
I know.
Because another question that Rooney has answered recently was about TJ Watt, you know, kind of in that same ballpark as the Mike Tomlin trade question. It just is something that doesn't seem to interest him. What may be in the best interest in the long run to his team, he's saying, well, TJ's a one-helmet guy. That means a lot to us.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because Art also talked about his own future We've talked about this. How long is he going to be the guy running the Steelers? He addressed this. We'll play it next. He also addressed the team culture under Tomlin. And for the first time out of all these interviews, sounded a little bit defensive about how he thinks the Steelers aren't doing too badly here.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. Yeah, Donnie, because you don't like that, we're going to play it again later in the show. Let me ask you a question, my friend, and welcome back to another Donnie Football Friday fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Who had the worst PR tour this week? The Pirates and Bob Nutting with their fan survey on fan satisfaction, or this?
In terms of the players, they both have said they'd like to come back, so that's a good start.
God, have the Penguins, all right, who had the worst PR week? The Penguins by losing to the San Jose Sharks, the Pirates by asking fans how satisfied they are with the team wanting to compete, or this?
In terms of the players, they both have said they'd like to come back, so that's a good start.
Donnie, I don't know that we've ever been in a worse place in this town. I really don't. I can't remember it. I came here in November of 1989. And moved to Holden Street in Shadyside. Worked at Everything Yogurt with a purple hat on. Took the 71C from Shadyside downtown to Fifth Avenue Place. I was in a bad place. It wasn't great then, as I recall, the three teams. The Steelers were sort of at the tail end of the Chuck Knoll era, although right in there they had the great playoff upset over Glanville that Chuck Knoll enjoyed so much because he hated that guy. The Pirates were about to be good again, and the Penguins had Mario, and they were about to be good. It wasn't great times in the late 80s, but they were about to be great for some. This is really bad. Which of those would be the worst sort of vibes to send to your fans? Losing to the San Jose Sharks, the worst team in hockey. Sending out a fan survey where you already know all the answers, asking them if they really think you're in it to win it when you just spent an off season where your biggest signing was Andrew McCutchen, or this? Should we hear it again?
In terms of the players, they both have said they'd like to come back, so that's a good start.
That's just such an unintentionally funny line.
Which is worse?
So that's a good start.
Yeah.
I mean, the Penguins' loss is going to be the least worse, I'll say. I mean, yeah, they lost to the worst team in hockey. They're having a bad season.
Yeah.
I get that. It wasn't really anything like they did outside of the actual on-ice product itself. I actually would put the Pirates thing in the middle because I don't know what. They're going to see the answers to this, you would think. They're not going to like the answers they see to those surveys because I got a survey. I don't know if you got one. I assume that Austin got one.
Oh, yeah. I filled one out.
I mean, I answered it honestly. And, you know, even though I'm a Hope Springs Eternal type guy with the Pirates, I answered it with hard truth and honesty, as I'm sure many people did, and they had joy doing so. But now we just have Steelers owner Art Rooney saying, yeah, well, I mean, I think these guys want to come back. So
in terms of the players, they both have said they'd like to come back. So that's a good start.
I don't know if we want either one of them. I don't really know if they want us. But
that's a good start.
Yeah, they're both. They seem to want to be here. That's a good sign. And whichever one shows up first on Tuesday gets the job.
It's also tough with Art because his tone and demeanor, yes, like, it never changes.
Right.
Like, I feel like...
You don't want to run through a wall for him, do you?
Yeah. No matter what happens, it's the same exact tone. It doesn't sound overly chipper and joyous. It doesn't sound completely down in the dumps, although just his baseline tone sounds closer to the dumps than it does,
I know,
at the heights of things. But I feel like they could have won the Super Bowl, and it would have been,
I know,
well, we won the Super Bowl, so right, that's a good start.
Yeah. Benzi, our friend over at the Trib, went through the Pirate survey and answered the questions for himself in a column today. It was tremendous. Question 4, I believe, was, would you imagine yourself, a friend, or a family member being proud to work for the Pittsburgh Pirates? A, definitely not. B, probably not. C, might or might not. D, probably yes. And E, definitely yes. And Benzie answered A, definitely not, especially if they work in whatever department came up with this survey, which is a tremendous line. The whole column is worth your read limits, I think.
I'll have to read it. I was too afraid to fill out the survey thinking that they'd track the answers back to me somehow.
It's just amazing stuff. All right, so then there's the general state of the Steelers. And I thought that Art was very careful with the big pack of media. Like, Ron and I had him on 1 year. And I was being critical of the team even that year. And this was, seems like, you know, decades ago. It was after the Jacksonville loss, the Blake Bortles fiasco. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, Joe, you know, we were 13-3. Fair enough. But now all these years later, I'm not sure, you know, we were 10-8 really solves anything. But when he spoke with Ashley, it was the first time, and maybe just the aggregate of all these questions got to him. Again, with his tone, you never know that something actually gets to him. But this was the first time he stood up a little bit in defense of his team. And I don't think this is going to win many PR points either, Donnie. Here we go.
I mentioned I'm a born and bred Pittsburgher, too. I've followed this team for my entire life. We know the culture that you guys have built in this organization. Recently, some fans, some commentators, things like that have been maybe calling into question the culture a little bit, the lack of fight we've seen maybe from years past, maybe the lack of discipline we've seen from years past. Is that something that concerns you or bothers you when you hear that come into question?
No, I think I'm very comfortable with the culture in this team. And I think it is a winning culture. I think people need to keep it in perspective here. Even though we haven't kind of reached our goal of winning a Super Bowl, we've had winning teams. We've been making the playoffs. And I understand the disappointment in terms of not succeeding in the postseason. And that, you know, that's what we have to do. But, it's not like we haven't had some success around here. And we just need to continue to build on the culture that we have. And, you know, players like TJ and Cam Hayward, you know, those kind of players, you know, help you with the culture and make sure that it's being passed down to the younger players.
Joe, I remember when the Jim Rooney comments came out last week.
Yes.
When he was on the Ross Tucker podcast.
Yes.
And the guys and I in the afternoon said, this is basically an admission to how Art feels.
It's because a window
into
it.
They yep. probably had these conversations. And, you know, there were a few people that would refute that and say, like, well, how do you know they've had conversations? Well, I don't know. They're brothers. They probably talk about, you know, the team's lack of playoff success, whatever, you know, how the seasons have gone. And then when he's with the big group of media earlier this week, he downplays what Jim said completely. He said,
right,
you know, Jim's, you know, that's his opinion. Good luck selling your book, whatever. That was just a different set of words saying the exact same thing.
You took my exact take. I agree with you.
I think people should remember we have had success around here. Yeah, not for 15 years. Okay, you got to an AFC championship game almost a decade ago. It was January of 2017. Like, okay, yeah, if you want to say last 25 years like your brother did, sure, you have had success compared to the rest of the
compared
NFL.
Compared to the mean.
Yes, you've been above the mean. You've been above average. That's terrific.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's where I was going. when he says people need to keep it in perspective, I don't know if he understands, especially when it's said in monotone, how that enrages a fan base. No, I imagine fans saying, we don't need to keep it in perspective, Art. And if you want some perspective, in the last 8 years, you need to stop saying that you haven't succeeded in the playoffs. The proper phrasing is you haven't competed in the playoffs. You've been blown out every single time. You haven't been competitive in a playoff game since 2016. So when people say, or when Art says, it's not like we haven't had some success around here, you've had some, just not as much as the Houston Texans, Art. They've doubled you up over a long period of time. They've been better than you, rebuilt, and become better than you again. So please, I mean, if that isn't the most defeatist statement I've ever heard out of Steelers headquarters, I don't know what is. Because Jim's didn't officially come out of the headquarters, but man, they were exactly what Art just said. Like, hey, everybody kind of let's step back and put it into perspective.
Yeah, it was the exact same thing that Jim said. He just changed the words around a little bit, almost
right.
Like, and I think you said it, he got into like a little bit of a defensive or, you know, a attacking tone there, like, hey, I still like the culture around here. We do win a lot. We get to the playoffs often.
Yeah.
We haven't had playoff success, but we do get there often. It was the exact same thing. So that basically confirms that what Jim said
Bingo.
Is what Art also thinks.
Bingo. And I think the Steelers have one last thing they're holding on to. When Art says, it's not like we haven't had some success. You know, we do some winning around here, you know. Let's keep it in perspective. Okay. Let's look at the 8-year playoff winless drought. Because that's really what we're talking about here, is 8 years without being competitive in a playoff game, let alone winning one. Let's just look at the AFC North, if you would. Playoff wins in the last 8 years. Bengals 3. Bengals 5, Ravens 3, Browns 1, Steelers none. Playoff games in which you were competitive and had a chance to win, or, God forbid, won. Ravens 7, Bengals 7, Browns 2, Steelers none. Super Bowl appearances, Bengals 1, everybody else none. Conference championship games, Bengals 2, Ravens 1, Steelers and Browns, none. Playoff, you don't lead in that either. That's the Ravens with 6. You've got 5. Playoff wins, well, I already mentioned that one. Wins overall, you don't lead in that either. The Ravens do. Division titles, the Ravens have doubled you up and you're tied with the Bengals. So the last number, the last thing that this Steelers organization is clinging to is this godforsaken non-losing streak that's more attributable to Ben Roethlisberger, in other words, more attributable to the losing season they had in 2003 than anything else. That's what they're hanging on to. And yes, I concede, in non-losing seasons in this playoff drought in the AFC North, the Steelers have 8 of them. Strike up the band, Donnie. The Ravens have 7 of them. One year they went 8-9. They
and Lamar missed like half the season.
They should have folded the franchise because they went 8-9, and then the Bengals have 4. They're clinging to that. That's it. The non-losing streak is like their last frontier of we're the Steelers and you're not.
That's why I'm really curious as to what would happen if that did come to an end. And I know people have predicted that for, what, probably the last 2 or 3 years now. Like, hey, this
is going to be... Do you think he'd fire Mike?
I don't think he would fire him. I think that would be a point where, like, I'm almost wondering if Mike himself is saying, you know what, once I do go below 500, once that streak ends, I'm done. And I'm out of here. I'm not saying it will. I'm wondering
What if it happens next year? He'd still have 2 years and, like, $30 million left on his deal.
Yeah, so probably not. I had a theory the other night, though, Joe, if you want me to share that
Please.
With you.
Yes, I do.
That is that they will both be done after Tomlin's contract is up in 2027.
I heard that, and it was a great take, and I referenced it. Why don't we get back into that after we talk to Ray? I wanted to leave. What did I want to leave with here? Oh, well, just the fact that this team, and it's almost like, you know, I wonder if Art realizes the magnitude of fan upset. I know he says his inbox is full and laughs a little bit, but he's coming off a season in which they were 10-8, lost their last five games for the first time ever, when one of them included a playoff game, and were humiliated nationally in a playoff game when Kirk Herbstreit said they're quitting in the first half. They got humiliated by their arch rivals. Call me crazy, but I don't think that's the time, as the person running the franchise, to get up in front of people, and you know they're watching, and say people need to keep it in perspective. We still have a winning culture. It's not like we haven't had some success around here. I don't know who's advising Art on what to say. That ain't it. That ain't it. And I heard Pony talking the other day about me talking about what people want to hear from Art is a little bit of indignation and outrage. And no, that doesn't make up for a lack of action. I'll take action any day. But all he had to win the other day and this whole week was the PR battle, the news conference battle, the media meeting battle. And man, he lost just like the Steelers do in every single playoff game. By double digits, he got blown out this week. That was a disastrous week for Art Rooney and the Steelers. Would you agree?
I would.